heck is going on, everybody? It's your guy, Snowbike Mike, welcoming you back to another episode of the Kinda Funny XCast, your home for all things Xbox here at Kinda Funny. Of course, today I am joined by my two incredible, amazing, awesome, and just the best co-hosts that I could ever ask for, Gary Witta and Alana Pierce. Gary, I'm going to kick it to you first. How are you doing this week, Gary? It's always nice to have you.
Well, let me tell you, Mike, I'm doing pretty good. I got no complaints.
Does yours have the Master Chief on it?
Does it what?
Your box have the Master Chief on it.
Yes, it does.
Okay. I was really curious about if that was a thing that we only got on the preview units, that they were just like expected it to be out for launch, and then you guys who got further waves that don't say, my box says prototype, I guess yours don't say prototype on them?
No, this is the, as far as I can tell, this is the final retail box.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, it's got the barcode and all that good stuff on it. So, yeah.
You got that prototype.
Very exciting. My dreams are fully powered.
I know Gary is pumped up about that. And we're going to talk about our unboxing experiences here in just a little bit. But we have Alana Pierce here. She's incredible. She's amazing. And she has some special news for all of us. So, Alana Pierce, break it down for me.
Oh, you're making it sound like it's good news. I don't know that it's good news. It's very sad for a lot of reasons, but this is going to be my last episode of the Kinda Funny XCast, which is the part that I'm sad about. It's been so much fun being on here for like, I think you said 15 weeks or something.
15 weeks, yep.
Yeah, and actually
that's
just
flown
like,
by.
I know, and just so much news. Like, I feel like it's been such a good time to do this, and Microsoft has given us so much to talk about all the time, which certainly makes it easy, and so many game releases that I didn't expect, like little ones like Tell Me Why and Battletoads and all that stuff. But basically, I am moving to a new position that would definitely impact my schedule, amongst a number of other things that I'll be able to announce soon, but not quite yet. But yeah, it does mean that this is my last episode of the show, and I just want to say thank you to both of you for being absolutely wonderful. And thank you to the entire Kinda Funny community. You guys have, like, I always knew the community at Kinda Funny was rad, but it's been very cool to be even more of a part of it for this period of time. And I hope that the XCast can live on forever, Greg.
Well, I mean, that's my question. Mike, what are we going to do? How do we soldier on after this? What's going to happen next? What does the post Alana XCast even look like? I can't imagine.
I mean, here's the thing: I'm pretty sure the only reason that they were like really renewing the show is because of Alana. So we'll have to see.
Oh, you can't put that guilt on me.
If Greg doesn't renew us on the next go around, we now know the reason why. Because it was Alana propping us up all along.
Don't put that on Alana, because she'll see my face one day and she'll be like, "Oh no, I ruined that kid. You know, I ruined his dreams." But for real, Alana Pierce, before we get into any of that, you know, it's a sad, emotional day to see you go. But I will say on behalf of myself and the whole team, thank you for being an inspiration. Thank you for being a mentor. Thank you for being open and honest and willing to try something new. You know, I love to bring a lot of energy, and you and I are kind of like yin and yang with our energy cycles. So it's really nice that you accepted me and taught me so much. So thank you, Alana, for being so incredible to not only me, but to your community and the gaming world in general. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You don't have to thank me for anything, Mike. You're great at what you do. That's all you.
It's particularly sentimental for me, because I don't know if Alana even remembers this, but I certainly do. I actually met Alana because of the Xbox. I was invited to be on a special Xbox IGN podcast where the objective was to rank the top 10 Xbox 360 games of that generation. And Alana and I were both panelists on that. And that's how
that's okay.
I
think I was on that podcast.
The correct answer, true or not, was of course I remember, Gary. How could I possibly forget? But I'll take the truth.
I think I vaguely remember that, because I think we were also live showing like a ranking list, and I think I kept fucking with y'all and putting like joke games onto it.
It was one of those open door things where IGN brought a lot of people in. I think I do remember that.
Yep.
And yeah, it was good. And I can't remember. There was some argument over what the best, because I remember going like this, like the list that we came out with at the end was awful. I was like, this list is so wrong. And the democratic process is clearly so broken that we're deciding these are the 10 best Xbox 360 games. But it was really fun. And so I met Alana talking about the Xbox, and here we are at the end of a chapter, still talking about the Xbox. So there you go.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I got to meet Alana by talking Xbox as well. So that's a pretty special one right there.
It brings people together, Mike.
No doubt.
Making dreams come true or whatever.
It's powering our dreams.
Let's keep talking about Alana. Let's keep talking about awesome memories, since we have Alana on for one more episode, and you know, we'll start the show in just a little bit. But Alana, you know, why don't you go through a couple of some of your favorite Xbox memories for us and the best friends out there? I mean, you've been on podcasts, you've been on live shows, you've played all these games, you've had all these memories. Like, is there a couple that you really want to share with all of us as we head into a new generation with Xbox?
If you ask me that, there are definitely like a few things that come to mind immediately. And I will say my first time playing Sea of Thieves on the E3 show floor, which is when they still had Xbox booths before they had moved to the Mixer booth or before they had moved out of E3. So a while back now, because that's changed a lot, obviously, was just so funny because there are four of us standing there in person learning how this game works in real time against a team of devs. And I think there was like one just sort of E3 audience member or whatever you would call them, attendees, what I'm looking for. And we realized that we could hijack someone's ship and have one of our crewmates stand and hold their wheel and then they wouldn't be able to move. I'm definitely screwing up all of my ship terminology right now. But it was so funny that I ended up like basically crying, laughing. Absolutely the best game demo I've ever had playing Sea of Thieves. And at that point, I'd had so many experiences where you play something on a show floor or you play something at a preview build like Evolve and you think it's incredible. And then you can go home and it can kind of lose that appeal of like A, being in person, or B, the excitement. And so I just kind of assumed that would happen with Sea of Thieves, but it absolutely hasn't. It's like every time I've ever played that game, it's been so much fun. When I bought the dog recently and my friend immediately put it in a cannon, I didn't know you could do that. And I was mortified. Like, just, I have so many good Sea of Thieves memories. To go way further back, I'm going to say Brute Force, because that was the first game that my sister and I were able to play co-op on the original Xbox. And I guess my sister was a coward, so she would just sort of hide behind rocks and use, I think she had like the cloak ability, use special abilities or go for collectibles while I would then shoot everyone at the same time, which sounds like it would be very useless in a four-player co-op game to have, even though we're only playing two players, to have one person just like not do anything at all. But it actually worked out great. We had a very good system. She was very helpful about telling me where enemy. It's like she played a scout, even though that wasn't her role, just because she didn't want to shoot anyone. And I feel like that's a thing that I've never forgotten and my family has never stopped making fun of her for, just being very cowardly and brute force.
Remember Brute Force? How did that? Do I remember that game? Why don't I remember Brute Force?
Should Gary? Would've.
You should. It's right, Gary. You should. It's awesome.
Well, certainly on Sea of Thieves. Mike, what was the game that I said to you right before the show? I'm thinking about getting into this game. Should I get into it? Mike's saying I gotta get into Sea of Thieves. Apparently, everyone's having fun but me.
Sea of Thieves is fantastic.
All right, yeah. I'm gonna get
Alana.
It.
It's a good time
after the show. All right.
Yeah, it is super fun. It I think is better if you play it with someone who has a lot of experience. And I still don't consider myself to have a lot of experience. So when I play with my friends who are like hardcore about it. And I'm just like, tell me where to go. Because if I play it by myself, I don't have enough direction maybe. But
I think Mike's got a pretty salty crew that's going to help me out.
We got some sea dogs out there. I'm like Alana. I like to get right up on the mast and I just sit there and just make them move the boat and do everything while I look at the beautiful scenery.
It's just, there's so many chaotic, stupid things that can happen in that game, but it's so fun. It's just so fun. I think, one of my favorite games of the generation in a very specific way like that. The other game that the franchise was going to shout out is Gears. I just have so much love for Gears and Halo and playing multiplayer with everyone that I will never grow out of, I don't think.
I never want to
grow out of it.
Still
excited for Infinite whenever it's coming out.
No doubt, right, Alana? It's going to be so much fun, and we will be talking about Infinite. Of course, we could sit here and talk about anything with Alana all day long. She's not going anywhere. You can find her everywhere on a YouTube channel and everything in between. So make sure to go out there, support Alana, and encourage her on her new opportunity that we'll find out at a later date. But right now, of course, this is all about Xbox. It's the Kind of Funny Xcast. Each and every weekend on Saturdays, we post at 6 a.m. West Coast, Best Coast time at youtube.com/ Kind of Funny Games and on podcast services around the globe. So please make sure to like, share, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. And do me a favor, go down in the comment section right there and spread some Xbox love to Alana. Encourage her on her next step and let her know that we'll miss her. All right. So that is all we have for the housekeeping news, except for Donktober. The Donkoween special happens tomorrow. That's right. Halloween, October 31st, twitch.tv/ Kind of Funny Games at high noon. That's 12 p.m.
Later today, if you're watching this in the morning, it's coming up.
Later today, make sure to be there because you don't want to miss out on Donkoween. This is going to be a good time, right, Barrett?
Just expect a good old chaotic stream with me and Bless. It's Donkoween. It's Halloween. It's a mixture of Bless's favorite things in life: Donkey Kong 64 and Halloween. You can only imagine we're going to celebrate.
That's kind of funny. He's number one Halloween guy.
Yes,
you know, I don't even know how you can. How do you combine those two things?
Oh, Gary, you'll just have to tune in. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames this afternoon, 12 p.m. Pacific time. And it's since it's the final episode, we're rounding up our DK64 playthrough with Blessing finally beating the game for his very first time.
It's going to be a great time.
Oh, yeah. Well,
let's talk about some more fun stuff. We'll keep the energy up as we check our dashboard and jump into the news. I want to bring the hype and I want to keep it positive. So let's talk about Xbox and Snoop Dogg unveiling the Xbox Series X fridge. That's right. Last week, we saw all the hype. One of my favorite artists out there in the world, Snoop D-O-double-G, has unveiled for his birthday a custom cake, and it was delivered in the world's first ever, fastest, most powerful Xbox Series X fridge. This is coming from the Xbox Wire because all of you best friends out there need to know that one lucky fan will have the chance to power their dreams and win their very own Xbox Series X fridge birthday cake not included by simply retweeting the Xbox sweepstakes tweet from October 28th through November 4th. Alana, I'll kick it to you first because this is just a fun one. They've turned the meme into reality. We saw Snoop. We saw iJustine. What did you think of the big fridge?
They're just – Microsoft is so good with stuff like this. Like – I think it's awesome, very funny, garish. Like, I would, there's a thing where you can enter to win it, and I would do it, but I was like, I already get enough cool stuff. Somebody else should win that. But, like, I would totally have it at my house. I think it's really funny, and I remember when I was still in Australia, I think I had left the Xbox team by the point that this happened, but I did work for Xbox in Australia, and they made Xbox onesies because people kept making fun of the name Xbox One. So they were like, let's just make the Xbox onesie. We had pool floaties in Australia.
Yeah, they did.
It was grease-free PUBG controllers. Like, I just feel like they do a lot of like very silly, fun stuff that, I don't know, they feel less like a corporation sometimes. Of course they are, and that's the marketing illusion. But just, I love the fun. Love the fun in it. I appreciate it.
Gary, could we see you shoving the Xbox Series X fridge somewhere in that studio of yours behind you, maybe replacing the couch right there?
I'm actually in the market for a new fridge, so I'm very much interested. Maybe I will enter that contest. By the way, quick plug, the Animal Talking Halloween Spooktacular, by the time this podcast goes out, will be out on YouTube, my YouTube channel, youtube.com/GaryWitter. And in fact, the only other recipient of the Xbox fridge, other than Snoop Dogg, my good friend iJustine, she got the other one. She's on that show. We're going to be talking about the actual, I'm going to get some straight from the Justine's mouth intel on what it's like to actually have that fridge and unbox it and play around with it.
It must have been so expensive.
I mean, it's Microsoft, right? They've got money. True. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was very expensive, but I think it was worth it in terms of, look, we're talking about it right now, right? Mission accomplished. Yeah. They turned a meme into a PR win for them. And I will say, I agree with Alana that generally, I think that the Microsoft, the Xbox PR marketing team in general has done a far better job than Sony of projecting just like a fun, image. Yeah, yes, they are both major corporations, but to me, the Sony PR effort always seems much more like when they did that tear down and that unboxing, like all their official PR messaging is so buttoned down and serious, and it doesn't really project an image of fun and kind of frivolity the way that I think Xbox does. And even when things go wrong for them, you know, like, again, there was this, oh, it looks like a bloody fridge. Well, okay, so they made a fridge out of it. They took a negative meme and they turned it into something fun. Why didn't PS5 make a giant air conditioner that looks like a PS5? Because, you know, the way that people would talk, it looks like, you know, yeah, or a giant router or something, or a giant ice cream sandwich, whatever. They could have done something fun with it. But I just feel like that's just not how Sony PR operates. They are more serious and more buttoned down and more corporate and more kind of white collar than the Xbox guys, who do project, I think, a better image of fun. Remember when the Xbox stuff leaked early, the Series S stuff leaked early? Their Twitter team was on that really fast and turning it into a meme, turning it into a PR win as well. The only thing I would have, maybe I'm wrong because I haven't looked at the unboxing yet, the only thing I would have done differently with the Xbox fridge is actually put a real Xbox Series X in there somewhere, so it would actually have the HDMI and Ethernet outs and everything.
So it can play Skyrim. It can
It's not only is it a fridge, it's also a real Xbox Series X. Like, plug it in. And all they had to do was build a real one into the back of the thing, and with the outputs accessible.
So just have your fridge display be a little TV. Yeah. That wouldn't have been that hard. That would surely.
Have been, no, they, have I mean, would have been, would have been unit, a bit, you know. Hey, Xbox, Xbox marketing, you know where to find me. I'm available. And so I'll have my guy Gary. Problems for you. No, but it was cool, and you know, everyone was like, "What the hell?" And that's the kind of, you know, when you've got money to burn in with a marketing budget, and you've got a good sense of humor. That is the kind of fun stuff that we like to see. We all need cheering up this time of year. God knows. It was good. It was just a cute bit of fun. They only made three, right? Snoop got one, Justine got the other one, and then the third one, I guess they're going to give away in a contest prize.
Yeah,
my understanding that is correct. That's correct. It's nice.
And, I was looking up the Snoop Dogg cake. I didn't know that was a thing as well.
Yeah, cake was inside there for his first birthday. It was very cool. Looking. It's fine.
And it lights up green on the inside, right? They got the green interior lighting and everything. It's very cool. They did a good job with it.
Yep. It's got the exterior power light. It makes a sound when you open it up. It's green on the inside. It's cool as can be. And, you know, it's funny. Alana brings up how cool Xbox has been with some of the marketing ploys that they've done, right? And she brought up the pool floaty and the onesie that I absolutely loved and adored and was so upset that I wasn't in that region to get. And they actually, I brought this up before, but they have the body wash and the body spray line that they created that was New Zealand and Australia only. And a kind of funny best friend, Kebabs, who we've all known and seen in the chat before, he sent me all of these to make sure that I could have them because he knew how much I loved them. So thank you.
What is that, like shower gel or something you've got there? What the hell is that?
I got the shower gel. I have the antiperspirant, and I believe this is the deodorant body spray. So I'm going to use
them. I would save them forever.
Have you been using these products?
I have not used them.
Ode to Xbox? You got to – I mean, what does it smell like?
Xbox, that's the line.
What's the aroma?
Light hints of you know, Cheeto dust, lemon Mountain Dew.
Yeah, beautiful.
It smells good. You guys are the best. Let's keep it rolling.
Those roll.
With some, unfortunately, some sad and a little bit on the opposite side news. Chris Lee has stepped down from Halo Infinite. A little blurb coming from IGN by Matt Kim. Halo Infinite project director Chris Lee has left the project after following a delay that will see the next Master Chief Adventure released in 2021 instead of this holiday. Lee confirmed the departure to Bloomberg News. In a statement, Lee said, quote, "I have stepped back from Infinite and I'm looking at future opportunities. I believe in the team and I'm confident they will deliver a great game, and now is a good time for me to step away," end quote. Lee is the latest top director to depart the project after creative director Tim Longo left 343 in 2019, followed by lead producer Mary Olson. Halo veteran Joseph Staten now leads the single-player campaign development, and Pierre Hintz is leading multiplayer. Quote, "Chris Lee remains a Microsoft employee, and while he has stepped back from Halo Infinite right now, we appreciate all he has done for the project to date," end quote, Microsoft said in a statement provided to Bloomberg. Alana, do we think him stepping down and leaving this project will affect Halo Infinite's development as now we look at kind of picking ourselves back up from missing this launch title date and moving to 2021?
Like him specifically, though, everyone speaks very highly of him, well-regarded. I'm sure has had a huge impact on the team. I'm not trying to not say that. It's the amount of turnover that this project has had that really concerns me. Just adding another person to the list of people who've left the project really worries me. For a game that was supposed to come out in a few weeks initially, is like, how is this happening at this point in development? It's just concerning. I know that I've spoken about this on the show before. They had basically story rewrites to align more closely with what Halo fans wanted after a lot of people weren't happy with everything that went down with Locke. And I know that was a thing that was definitely sort of an unusual development cycle was encouraged via that. But, you know, people in leadership positions leaving on projects and more than one just makes me so curious about what's going on there. And, you know, I guess it ultimately doesn't matter because we don't have a release date right now. Like, it's kind of nice to not go the Cyberpunk route, for example, where they've given us release dates and said it's coming out and then pushed it. Which, of course, I understand why they have to do that for business reasons. They're a publicly traded company. They generally have to do it for the stock market, not for us. But that aside, not having a release date means I don't feel like, are they going to get this out by December? Is it going to be on fire? They ultimately have all the time in the world that they need to do it. It is definitely a blow to them business-wise, the longer they have to push it. because, you know, you want it as close to the launch of this console that you're trying to put Master Chief on the box of. But that, I mean, that's in its favor. They really take all the time in the world. In my head, I'm like, something is wrong with this game and I don't know what it is.
Gary, what are your thoughts on somebody so important leaving the team like that? We know he kind of took, you know, I would say his role kind of changed as they brought in Joseph Staten and kind of changed up the formula after this delay. He's been here with 343 Industries since 2008, a year after its founding. What do you think there, Gary, when you see people like that leave?
You know, I always am very, very cautious about this kind of idle speculation because, for example, I've seen it from the other side. Like, I worked on Star Wars for a couple of years and I saw all kinds of media reports coming out on all kinds of projects that I knew what was. I would see the media reports and I'm like, this bears no relation to what I know to be true. And so I'm always very, very careful about this. I understand you got to get people clicking on websites and we got to drive those headlines. And I get it. And I had to tackle this earlier in the week because the news dropped right on a Wednesday when I was doing Kind of Funny Games Daily with Greg. So I talked about it a bit earlier this year. Who knows? I mean, I do think in general, to Alana's point, I agree that I think this game has now officially entered the status of being like a troubled game, right? Like it seems like a troubled development. It was a huge, huge hit that they didn't get. You know, in an ideal world, we are all talking about, and we talked about this earlier. Here's Master Chief, right? Right on the back of the Xbox Series X box. They fully intended and fully hoped, and it was a key pillar of their launch strategy, that they would launch with the game, the Xbox game, the new Halo. It's the big one. Nothing else even comes close as a standard bearer for Xbox. And they couldn't do it. And that's a big fail, and it's a massive bummer. As Phil Spencer said when I spoke to him a while ago, it's a bummer. There's no other way around it. There's no way to spin it. It's just really, really sad news. And but what does it mean for what's going on behind the scenes? Yeah, I'd love to be a fly on the wall, and I would love to know what's really going on. But, you know, it's been one negative media cycle after another. They did that demo that everyone said, oh, it doesn't really look that good. You remember we talked about that, I think, on our very first show. And then the game got pushed back to God knows when. Another negative, and now like, you know, cycling people at the very top of the project. Now again, that can be good news, or for all we know, people inside the Halo development team are high-fiving right now because they know that maybe this actually is good news.
Absolutely.
Who knows? Who knows? This might be what the project needs to get it back on track. Without knowing anything about Chris leaving or the person who's replacing him, it could be making the kind of moves that are needed to get the project back on track. And I do genuinely believe, because Microsoft can't afford for there to be any other outcome, that when Halo Infinite eventually comes out, whenever that will be, it will be a banger of a game, and we'll forget that we ever had conversations like this.
That's what this all is for.
Yeah,
ultimately.
We'll talk about these conversations in the context of, oh, can you believe that we ever thought that this game might not work out great? Because look what happened. I genuinely think that we will get to a good place because Microsoft cannot afford to let that happen. They cannot have the Halo game come out and be, you know, not good, especially as the first one in the next generation. My best prediction, without any real information to go on, just my gut tells me, I think we'll be seeing this next holiday. I think this is now a holiday 2021 game. Clip this, come back and tell me if I'm wrong when it happens. But I feel like that's given that if they're still making like major strategic changes at the top, those are not things that you do when the game's a couple of months away from shipping. Those are things that you do when they still have a lot of real work to do to kind of find the game. Like, they might still be in search of the game that will end up being Halo Infinite, and who knows where the hell they are. Only the people deep inside the inner sanctums of 343 and Microsoft really know what's going on. That's why I really, really hesitate. You know, we want to talk about it. It's fascinating. I get it, but we don't really know what's going on. And so I always am very hesitant about this sort of thing. My only two predictions are it will still be a great game despite all of the trouble that they've clearly had in development. But I don't think you'll be playing it before next holiday season.
I know that wounds you. I'm missing a Halo-shaped piece of my heart right now. It hurts to look at that box and think about what could have been. But you know what? The team over at Xbox has done a fantastic job. And moving to our next one is Jason Ronald put out the tweet letting us know that this Xbox team is for real about backwards compatibility and ensuring that all of our games for from the past and present move forward with us to the next generation. And so the tweet reads, after 500,000 plus hours of testing, we are excited to share that all Xbox, Xbox 360, and Xbox One games playable on Xbox One today, except for the handful that require Kinect, will be available and will look and play better on Xbox Series X and S at launch.
Man, that sounds really cool to have.
I love that.
It would be really cool to have that on PlayStation.
I think everything does work now, actually. And it has
anything that requires Kinect. That was the one caveat.
Yes, which...
which makes total sense.
Not looking at those. I think, like, you know, the rollout period, there have been some strange choices where some things didn't work and I expected them to work, but it was usually optimization. But the way they've rolled it out has been really smart and it is really cool. But I'm also having this weird thing where, you know, I have three setups here where I have Xboxes plugged into monitors and I've just been moving the X because of quick regime, I guess. I've just been moving it between the three and now I'm like, do I want three Xbox Series X's? Cause that seems a bit stupid. So I guess I should get the S, but then because I can also play all of my games still on, I have the Cyberpunk Xbox One X just sitting here. I can still play all my games on that. It actually feels like I don't need to upgrade if I don't want to, and I can just have Series X on my TV.
Here's the thing though. Once you get used to those super snappy load times and quick resume, you're not going to be able to go back.
That has definitely already happened.
For a game to load. Yeah.
So the other day, because I knew how bad a certain game was going to be on my Xbox One X, was actually Red Dead Redemption 2. I was like, I'll just go to the bathroom while I wait, which was never a thing that I thought about before.
Go
but
make
now
a
I
sandwich while you
X.
wait for the game to load. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's agonizing.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty brutal. And I mean, it's just... So I have the Series X in my pretty 4K TV with the 2.1 HDMI, and it's stunning. And I don't know, it's just very weird being able to play everything on everything and not have to change.
Yeah. You've basically got every Xbox ever made in that one box, which is pretty sick.
I love the way they brought it out. I think it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
really cool. And honestly, not being able to play the Kinect games, frankly, is a plus as far as I'm concerned.
Well, don't say that to me and Alana. We like that Kinect, Gary. We like
I
that.
I am an
Kinect.
Apologist. It's true. Yeah. It's true.
Oh my God. I know they had to say it because they had to make the exemption, but it's actually really weird to hear the word Kinect coming out of an official Microsoft channel because these days they kind of act like, what? Kinect? Never heard of it. That didn't happen.
But it's good hardware. That's the crazy thing is like Kinect.
It was good hardware.
You could tell if you were dead.
And all kinds of homebrew people ended up doing really interesting, fun things with it outside of the video game space.
Universities did some really cool
stuff.
But it was
not ever a good piece of gaming hardware.
Here's what I will say. I'm a Kinect apologist for games where Kinect is not required.
Okay.
Like, I used it a lot in Zoo Tycoon. I used it a lot in Rise. Like, games like that where you can use Kinect to do things, but you don't have to, is where I really liked it. Games that depended on Kinect, I've only played one and it was atrocious.
I still remember when they first announced it though, and we were all seduced by that, you know, kind of Minority Report, Good Morning Batman, like swiping windows around. And that, come on, that never happened.
Well,
never,
you could do the grab thing, and my parents only knew how to use, I'm sure I've said this before, my Xbox One, which they still have, my original Xbox One, if they were using Kinect with their hands and their voice. They didn't know how to use the console otherwise, and it was their only way of having a smart TV because they didn't have a smart TV. So they used it all the time. For those kind of purposes, and it seemed to work pretty well for them. Like, I know that they loved that you could like sit down and it would sign you in when it saw your face, and then you could grab and throw things around. But I mean, it didn't work anywhere near as good as we hoped it would. Like the hand thing, you'd have to like leave there for like 5 seconds. It's like, no, I need to just be able to swipe like you said, like Batman.
Yeah.
It didn't quite work that well.
The Kinect, I'll always have funny stories of, because I think of, like you said, a lot of the games that don't require it, but like use it in some way. I remember NCAA football had it where you could call audibles and call plays. And then on top of that, NBA implemented it. And I think it might've gone to Madden as well, where if it heard you start cursing or using foul language, it would call a technical on you. And I know a lot of people were not pleased with that one. I'll never forget that. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Like something that would punish you. What a weird idea.
That's funny.
Can
you imagine if Fall Guys had that? I'd be on like a 50-year timeout right now. Be banned for life.
It'd be cool if there were like games that implemented it like the way that Phasmophobia has. Like, I feel like Phasmophobia has done such a good job with voice, where I was playing that game the other night with Zombie, who some people might know. If you don't, check her out, she's great. And she didn't know how to play the game. We were not in the room where we knew the ghost was spawning, which was in a kitchen. I was in a laundry and she was in like a parking or a garage that was like next to each other. she didn't know that when the haunt starts in that game, you have to be silent. So she asked the question of, do I have to stop talking? And I went, yes, shut the fuck up. And then because I whispered that, I got killed immediately. If I hadn't have been quiet, I was in the closed room, I was hiding, my light was out, I was perfect. But because I told her to shut up, I got killed. I was like, I shouldn't have warned her. I would have been fine.
I got to say, between Phasmophobia and Among Us, I'm kind of enjoying this current trend of games like encouraging people to shut the fuck up and just play. I kind of like it.
You are the absolute best. I would love to see if we'll ever see that again, right? I don't think we'll ever get back, not to the Kinect, but like with the voice command stuff, we'll ever get back to that kind of, you know, video game edition ever again. I don't think we will. We'll see that.
Cortana threw a headset, can't you? I
always thought the idea was decent in principle. The technology wasn't there. Maybe in a generation or two, I believe in the Hello Batman future. Just the tech wasn't there at the time.
What did you think of Cortana? She would always come in when I was playing games, Alana, and like throw off my gameplay. What did you think about Cortana whenever you would talk to her through the headset?
Disabled, so I actually never used it. Okay. But I will say, like, one of the best Kinect, maybe it was Forza Horizon 2. I think that the name of the sort of AI that directs you around is Anna. I think that's what it's called, which I guess I would say Anna, if I'm remembering the name correctly. But you could ask her over Kinect for your next objective, and you'd be like, send me to the nearest race. And that was really cool. That you would kind of use Siri in real life or any of those other sort of AI speech things, where you would just be like, send me to this objective. And that was dope. And like, I can't see why we couldn't have that if it doesn't already exist. Again, I always turn it off because I don't tend to talk very much when I'm playing games by myself. But to be able to use that through Cortana would be pretty neat, but I don't want to speak to it in case I'm just like completely unaware of something that does already exist. But what, Cortana would just show up and fuck with your games when you wanted to? Is what you're saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So if it heard you, it would pop up the side menu to ask like Siri, hey, what would you like me to do? And so you'd be in the middle of a Halo match, and Cortana would be there, and you'd start smashing B to try to get that screen off of your gameplay.
Classic Cortana. That's Halo 3. She just shows up, and then you just have to walk around real slow for a bit because she just won't get out of your face when you walk through a tunnel or whatever.
It's that rampancy. To be fair, she is going mad or has gone mad, right?
There's no excuse. Yeah, she's going mad.
No excuse to ruin my gameplay, Gary is right. I'm getting kills, Gary.
In Halo 3, she was still really hot. So she kind of got away with it by being like a very hot silhouette of a woman that you'd be like, oh, all right. And then she'd disappear really quickly. So it was kind of okay.
I've been there.
I love it. Some really Blade Runner stuff is right. Let's keep the fun going. Of course, we are just a couple of days away from the official launch of the Xbox Series X and S. And we got a fun one. You know, when we had Major Nelson on with me and Alana, I brought up, hey, I love bringing the gamers together. And we've talked about that through this launch cycle. And how would we adjust in COVID world? How would we adjust where we social distance and we can't really see each other and bring all of us together on November 10th to celebrate this big occasion for Team Xbox? So coming from Xbox Wire, Phil Spencer is going to give us the details on the official Xbox launch event. And I think it's awesome. So I'm going to read straight from it. Gaming connects us even in the most difficult of times. In a year that's consistently thrown challenge and change our way, games told us new stories, enriched our lives, and brought us together across physical and social distances. Your actions in games showed the power of play and the imaginative feats we can accomplish together. To honor the launch of the new Xbox generation, we invite you to celebrate this power of play with us. On November 10th, we invite you, players of all identities and backgrounds, console generations and devices, skill sets and tastes, to celebrate, connect, and play together. We invite you to grab your device of choice and play alongside Team Xbox, your favorite creators, and our partners right from your homes around the world. We invite you to take a glimpse behind the scenes of the next generation of games, hear the stories of people who make them, and play along with them. We invite you to tune in to our global live stream in celebration of play on November 10th at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time for all of our American viewers out there on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook Gaming. Of course, if you're around the world, make sure to go check out your times there because they only provided American times on this one. And finally, think of our live stream celebration as a companion to your gaming plans for the day. We'll host Let's Play segments with the creators, showcase special launch highlights from around the globe and harness the power of gaming to raise virtual funds for great causes. This will be a moment of play, not press releases, as next generation consoles begin to land in the hands of players around the world. Alana, you know I get sappy and emotional when I think about seeing my friends, gaming with my friends, sharing moments with the Xbox community and just the gaming world in general. And I asked Major Nelson, what are we going to do on the launch event? It looks like they have a great plan. What do you think about this timing-wise? The idea of, hey, this isn't just a press release hype segment. We're going to connect with you and game with you. What do you think about this kind of stance here?
First, I just want to say I laughed out loud because you said celebrate connect. And I guess it would have been celebrate, comma, connect, but I heard it because of our previous conversation as, oh, we're celebrating connect right now? Okay. No, I think this is a really great idea. Obviously, it sucks that they can't have their big in-person events where, you know, they've done a lot of really cool stuff. We did speak about some of the stuff they did on the podcast with Major Nelson. And they always get so creative. I think I might have mentioned this before, but when I worked for Xbox Australia, the New Zealand team technically had the first launch because time zone-wise, they're the first in the world. And they had someone like dive into a shark tank and get a case that had the first Xbox One. Like, it was just so nuts, and seeing all these different regions do different crazy things with them, you know, whatever they really want to, is always so cool. Even if you're not in that country, just knowing what other countries are doing for console launches is awesome to see. And, you know, seeing like different people lined up outside stores from entirely different places all over the world, I think is just, you kind of get a reminder of how big gaming is and how passionate people are about it. So it sucks to have lost that. And I think this is kind of the perfect way to remedy it, to still get the community together digitally as everyone else is having to do this year, is a really great idea. I don't know what else they could have done. And I think it's, you know, the mention of this isn't about press releases. It's about, you know, people coming together. I feel like that's genuine. I appreciate it. It's cool. I think it's a great idea.
I love that. Gary, are you going to be participating here and connecting with your fellow gamers? What do you think about this?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens. Look, 2020 has been a shit show, right? No one's happy. Everyone's miserable. It's been awful, or like a historically bad year. 100 years from now, they'll be talking about how shitty this year was. And so we take our moments of joy and pleasure and escape where we can find them. It does, you know, every 5 or 6 years when a new generation rolls around, these big, you know, mega events, whether you go to them or not, it's, you know, it is a totemic thing that everyone kind of gathers around and we're excited about it. And you know, we don't get to do that this year, and so these kind of virtualized events are going to have to fill in. It remains to be seen. You know, we've already seen all through most of the year, you know, virtual E3, virtual, all kinds of things. You know, the Apple and PlayStation and Xbox events have all been, curated for a virtual, you know, a remote audience rather than a live one. And so definitely like a little something's lost in translation, not having kind of the hype of the live crowd and the live event that you get to broadcast out to everyone else. But I'm optimistic that, you know, if anyone can, as we were talking earlier about what a great job their marketing and PR and their hype team does over at Xbox. If anyone can fill the gap and make this feel like as good as an event as they could have done were it fully live, it's these guys. So I'm interested to see how they do it, but I'm optimistic that they'll pull it off and generate kind of all the hype and excitement that they want to.
Yeah, I'm really excited too, because it's not like an 11 p.m. to midnight situation, right? This is, hey, the day that the console releases, when you have it in your hands, let's all hang out for a fun afternoon. I didn't want to stay up late. I really didn't want to stay up late for a hype, you know, marketing segment that we're going to see with maybe old Halo footage or certain games that may or may not be there. I want to connect with the Xbox team. I want to connect with my fellow players. And I think this is a great idea, right? Let's come together for a fun afternoon of gaming. We'll have Let's Plays. We'll have different creators come on and talk to you about their games and what they've done. And man, I think they've figured it out. And I really hope that it goes well for them. And I'm sure it will, because they have the power and they're going to power our dreams on November 10th at 11 a.m. West Coast, Best Coast time. I'm excited as can be. I mean,
when you think about it, what are we really losing? Like, I still remember that, you know, remember that image of the Bill Gates, like giving the first Xbox to the first guy in line when they first launched it. Like, that's kind of cool. But like, I don't know, is anything really lost when we don't have those? I mean, it is nice to have that unless you're one of the few people that's actually there. I don't know how much of that really gets kind of communicated to people kind of watching at home. Like, it's nice to have those moments, but I don't know how much,
how much we really lose. Who is isolating alone in a small apartment, I feel the loss of it. Like, I feel like you know, this is a console launch that I would have been excited about. There probably would have been some kind of party or something at the Microsoft Theater where I would have seen all my friends and different people from out of town who I haven't seen all year. I certainly personally feel like I miss, without even knowing what it would have been, the fact that we don't have an in-person launch for these consoles. But I think that's just because I am so deprived of a social life in 2020. So for me, yeah, or in my situation, I'm like, you know, I don't talk to anyone at all outside of like on a screen right now.
I think that's totally valid, but let's also not forget that that experience is limited to people like us who are in a very, very privileged class, a few hundred or a thousand people that actually get to go to that event. I'm thinking about like the hundreds of thousands of millions of people that are watching it from home anyway. In terms of what they're seeing, is it really going to be that different?
I don't think they would have done an exclusive thing. Microsoft doesn't really do that. It would have been a fan fest type thing where fans would have frankly come first.
That's true.
What they tend to do.
Yeah.
Before us, or they like, you know, have us in for an hour and then open it up to everyone else is what they did for the
and even just the experience of people like standing in line outside kind of GameStops and, you know, Best Buys or whatever around the country at midnight. Like, I think there might still be a little bit. I hope not. I hope there's not too much of it because I don't think it's healthy or safe to do so. But you're not going to see those images from all around the country of people kind of shivering in lines outside, you know, Walmart or whatever at, you know, midnight waiting to get their first Xbox. Because I think everyone's probably hopefully doing the smart thing and staying at home and waiting for the FedEx guy to show up.
The next spanner in the works is, are people really going to get these consoles? Like, I have some friends in a text thread today who've been like, so I have two of these pre-ordered. Do you think I'm going to get either of them? I've not gotten any confirmation. So that rollout's going to be interesting.
We'll know soon enough. Yeah. This is a subject for a different podcast, but I saw some scary thing about like saying that majority of people who pre-ordered a PlayStation 5 won't get it on launch day. I don't know what that was based on, but I do think there are going to be, whether it's on November 10th or November 12th, there are inevitably going to be some disappointment.
I think that was Amazon emails that were coming through. I know for PlayStation's actual site, if you were lucky enough to get an invite for that, they were saying, and this is something that like Greg and I were talking about when that was happening, of like, we'll see it when we believe it, or we'll believe it when we see it, that if you got to pre-order from PlayStation's direct site, they were guaranteeing it'll come on the day of launch. So
right,
and with the early controller, and I think I'm getting the charging station today because they're like shipping out accessories early. Those are supposed to come today, and they're doing it through FedEx. And so I feel like today might be a test run for their site of like how well this actually works, of trying to get people there, get their systems on the online.
There's going to be a lot of people as we approach launch, you know, frantically, you know, waiting for that email, that shipping confirmation. Then on launch day, their nose is pressed up against the glass, waiting for the UPS truck. You know, when is it? Because it always comes like right at the end of the day. You know, like it says before 8 p.m. and you get it at like 8:01 or whatever. It's not fun. I remember waiting for Animal Crossing because we were dumb enough to order physical copies, waiting for that to come. All my friends who ordered digital were playing like at midnight, you know, for hours before our copies showed up. But yeah, it's like, I mean, I have two PlayStations pre-ordered because not because I want to, but because, you know, maybe if one doesn't come through, the other one does.
Mm. And then yeah, from different websites or whatever.
Yeah. I think one is at Amazon and the other one, I don't remember exactly where, Target, I think. But the idea is that I'll get both. If I get both, I'll just, there's inevitably going to be someone in my circle of friends who couldn't get one, and I'll just pass it on to them.
Yeah, that was my logic as well. Getting one from a friend because I have three friends who have extras, so we're hoping that works out. Really hope so.
Well, we all here at Kind of Funny hope that everybody gets their consoles in a timely and safe manner, but no matter what, if you want to connect with your fellow gamers, if you want to connect with the Xbox community, and most of all, if you want to connect with Team Xbox, get out there and enjoy that console launch event. It's going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be a great afternoon spent with all of your best friends. To wrap up the show, of course, your November games with gold are the following: Origami Shadow Edition, Full Spectrum Warriors.
Origami's really cool. Play it. It's really, really cool. Really fun stealth game.
Okay, heck yeah. Sorry. Thank you, Alana, for that one. No, I appreciate that because I was going to say Swim Sanity is the next one. Go check out Swim Sanity. It's a great couch co-op party type game. You're going to love it. It's a lot of fun. I've actually met the developers and they are some great guys, and I'm always happy to see them at conventions when we used to go and share the hype with them in their game. So I hope that this is a great launch on Games with Gold, and I can't wait to see more. Wrapping it out is Lego Indiana Jones, the original adventures, all totaling up for 3,000 gamer score. Boy, Snowbike Mike is getting close to my 100,000 gamer score achievement milestone. So I'm really excited to ding that and have some fun with everybody.
I just to give a shout out to Gamerscore. So there's this game called Sayonara Wild Hearts. Very short game that you can finish really quickly. It's sort of like a rhythm music game. And I didn't get any achievements for finishing the game. And I was like, what garbage is this? And then I looked through the achievements list and I realized that they're all cryptic puzzles that you have to solve. So all of the achievements are, and I loved it though. So I spent like several hours being like, what could this mean? Because it's stuff like, there was one that was, you basically had to pause and unpause a menu in any map 12 times.
Okay.
And
what is the point of that?
Well, it's basically, the point of it is not that what you have to do to get the achievement is the fun. It's solving the riddle to figure out what you have to do was the part that was really fun. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really creative way to have achievements. So like what it was written as was something, and it's all done in this like Zodiac map. And it was written as something that was like, you know, I was indecisive very quickly about a dozen times. So like, it's written like that.
Okay, I see. All right.
Figure out what these clues
mean. Okay, so there is like a logical thing.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Have short clues. And I was just like, it's such a cool way to like have an achievements list. So I won't spoil any more of them. If anyone's interested in that game, I ended up getting.
I played that on Apple Arcade. I really liked that game.
Yeah. It's really nice regardless, maybe 2 hours to finish, but that was one of my most unique achievement experiences recently. And then I would highly
really
recommend
music.
It.
Queen Latifah. It's got it out.
It's great. Yeah. Don't look up the people, guys. Just go try it.
Go do it. Great gameplay, incredible visuals, awesome music, Queen Latifah, and one of the few games I've ever just straight up bawled and cried. And I actually had to turn off one of my streams.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Because I finished it and I cried like a big baby Alana. Oh, it hit me so hard. You know,
yeah,
I
had it not quite as powerful because nothing ever will be. But I had a similar experience that I had with Journey, where it just kind of felt like this beautiful like tone poem. Like there was just, it just felt like, you know, artistry happening right in front of you, and you can, you know, it's a short game, you can get in and out and just have a really good experience with it.
Only game that's ever made me cry is Gears 2. So
let's try not to get emotional right now. I cried at the pro shooter
and you guys are like Journey.
That reminds me of my grandpa. The only movie he's ever cried in was Major League, because the Cleveland Indians actually beat the New York Yankees. That's just fucking hilarious.
Gears 2 is emotional, to be clear. Sorry, I'm going to let you finish, Mike.
Don't worry. I want to make sure we get
was
all
it, was
out
it
of
when
here,
you were chainsawing your way outside the
giant one,
the giant monster? Yeah,
exactly. Uh-huh. Very emotional.
I choked up that one as well. Yeah,
it hits me every time.
That has been your episode of the Kind of Funny XCast. I wish we could keep Alana a whole lot longer, but guess what? She's not going anywhere. You can go check her out on all of her social media. She's going to pimp that in just a moment, and of course, we're going to do our best to bring her back because she means the world to all of us here at Kind of Funny. So Alana, pump it up. Tell them what's going on, where they can find you, and we'll cheer you on one last time.
Well, yeah. So I'm still making all my content on my YouTube channel. I'm keeping my podcast, which for anyone who doesn't know, I do with Troy Baker, Mike Bithell, and Austin Wintery. Speaking of Journey, he's the composer. Where we basically have four people who are in very different segments of the games industry talk about our different vocations. And yesterday there would have been our Halloween episode went up where everyone was in costume, and I think it's hilarious. So that goes up every Friday. And yeah, definitely still going to be making content on my own. I have every intention of continuing to collaborate with people that I've worked with before. It's just, you know, when you start a new job, you kind of have to commit to your new job. That's kind of the way that it works. So I can't see any reason why, you know, with flexibility, I couldn't, you know, keep showing up on Kind of Funny and also keep showing up on Funhouse and all that good stuff too. So definitely hope to, but we'll see how the future goes. And I should be able to tell everyone what I'm doing pretty much in the middle of November, maybe in like 3 weeks or so, I think. And I'm very excited. And I just want to thank you guys both for joining me on this show. I've had a wonderful time. You're all just, we've had some very fun conversations that I feel like this show has not been an echo chamber. And I really appreciate that about it. Like different takes, different opinions, different perspectives. Despite, I think, probably a strong love for Halo really across the board. But yeah, anyone who likes video games should love Halo across the board, really. So it's been wonderful to be here, and thank you for having me, and thank you to the entire Kind of Funny community for, you know, going on this journey with all of us. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you.
It's going to be a hard seat to fill, Mike.
Oh, I'm already crying, Gary. Gary, pump it up, pump it up, pump it up. Let's get out of here.
I'm getting those Gears 2 emotional vibes right now.
You guys will be fine. Also, Mike, it's just been so cool to watch you like grow as a host. It's been awesome. It's very cool to see that in real time. You've done an amazing job.
Thank you, Alana, to you for all the inspiration, the encouragement, and all the support. Thank you to the best friends who have always left nice comments. It means the world to me and all of your favorite creators out there. So go have a positive impact on somebody's day. Get ready for the console launch nearing very, very soon. We're going to have a very fun special guest next week that I can't wait to tell you all about. But until then, go out there, power your dreams, and be great. We got a special guest. You left me for it. I needed you the most. Get out of here, Baron Cunningham. We got to go. I love you guys.